This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اعلموا عباد الله أن أحسن الكلام كلام الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد عباد الله My dear brothers and sisters, if you've been shopping lately in the past few days, perhaps you notice that everything is turning into red. Everything is turning into red. Flowers, chocolate, balloons, and everything is promoting one theme, and that is the theme of love. As Muslims, you just cannot avoid being affected by these themes. You have children, and you are young, and even if you're an adult in your 50s or 60s, you cannot just avoid reflecting on these things. Have you prepared yourself to answer the question when your child, particularly teenagers, they ask you, what's the problem? Why can't you celebrate this or that? Why is not allowed for us to have, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend? Are you prepared to answer these questions? You can't just let this season pass by without being proactive as a parent. Without being prepared as an individual, man or woman, and as a young one as well. What answer do you have to your friends? When you go to school or college, and they ask about these things, what answers do you have to these issues that are related to the subject of love and emotions? You know, unfortunately, our children, our youth, our families, young couples these days, are growing up in a culture that is completely distorting reality for them. When it comes to the ideals of love and marriage, they're just fairy tales. Even though the thing that they promote the most is love, it's failing their realities. High rate of divorce, breakups, dating doesn't work for them anymore. Many things, the same thing they're looking for and they've been trying to achieve and get, it's not helping them either, subhanAllah. The ideals that they're teaching others, not helping. You think it's only a non-Muslim issue? Muslims, they're falling into the same trap as well. I'm not going to here ask you to raise your hands, but I'm sure that perhaps maybe almost 70% of Muslims in America, they have international satellites at home. And they have their families, their wives in particular, you know, watch these TVs and series of Turkish and Syrian and Pakistanis and so on all day and all night. What do they watch over there? You watch them there sitting in front of the TV crying their eyes out for a love story that if one of their children tries to do that, to do in reality, they will do a big problem for them. So they're just living virtual life. And they're building ideas that don't exist even in reality. What they don't realize is that even those actors in real life, they cannot sustain a relationship. They cannot have a happy marriage. Because when it comes to reality, it has completely different rules. As Muslims, where do we learn these ideas about love, about marriage? When your child asks you the question, do you have an answer? What answer are you giving your children? What are your points of reference? And what are resources when you talk to your children? In this khutbah, I would like to share with you one of the most important resources about the subject of love and marital life. None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. None other than the Messenger of Allah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, the best role model. Didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send him to mankind as rahmatul alameen, mercy to mankind, mercy to the world? And what does that exactly mean? In everything. Wasn't he sent to us to follow his example? When Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked about khulukun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سُئِلَتْ أُمُّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَائِشَةَ. She was asked, كَيْفَ كَانَ خُلُقُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. قَالَتْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهَا كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنَ. His akhlaq, his manners, was the Quran itself. And what does that exactly mean? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asserts that again in the Quran, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are, O Muhammad, at a very high level, very high standard of character. Ya Muhammad. You're at a very high level and standard of character, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, for us to follow. When Umm al-Mu'mineen was asked the question, how was the akhlaq and the manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do you think the questioner didn't know about his akhlaq, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, in public? They knew who he was. They see him every day. They interact with him in public. But what was the question about? The question was about the thing that every husband, every man dreads when they're asked them, when someone asks them the question, ask their wives or their children, how's your dad at home? And when a man's wife is asked, how's your husband at home? How does he treat you? That's what men, they fear the most, to be exposed. Why is that? Because as humans, we have sometimes double standards. We have two faces, the public face and the private. The public face is the happiest face ever. But the private one, Allahu Akbar, that's a different thing. And most men, they fear that their children, their spouses are asked the question. You know, when I just brought the issue here right now, I saw many faces just looking down. Because we all know that, it's reality. But for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people, they wanted to know, how is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So they came to Mu'min Aisha, how is akhlaq al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Which means, how does he treat you guys at home? Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she could count all his beautiful akhlaq and manners. But she wanted to cut it short to them. She said, listen, just like saying, don't waste your time. Kana khuluqu al-Qur'an. His akhlaq is the Qur'an itself. Which means don't waste your time looking and digging into the private life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't have that double standard. He doesn't have two faces or multiple faces like many people might have. He doesn't have that sallallahu alaihi wasallam because kana khuluqul Quran, his akhlaq, his manners was the Quran itself. One standard of character sallallahu alaihi wasallam and one set of ethics in all his practices salawatullahi wasallam alayhi. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she knew him because she lived with him and she saw it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved her so much. Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha, speaking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as an ideal husband, as a beautiful man, family man, salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. When it comes to love, he was wallahi the role model. Because his story is real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy. It was reality. It was reality, and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she knew that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of these beautiful memories and gestures, that he loved his wife sallallahu alayhi wa sallam genuinely. You know, when it comes to loving your spouse, it's an attitude. People, they come with a lot of baggage to the relationship, and everybody's expecting the other party to start first. And because of that kind of competition, who's going to be the first person to move on forward with that relationship, we have a lot of troubles in these marriages. But love is attitude. You come with an attitude, positive attitude towards that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was even older than him, salawatullahi wa sallam. And from her, he got all his children, salawatullahi wa sallam, except for Ibrahim. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she took care of him, salawatullahi wa salam alayhi, over 20 years. And then when she passed away, he never forgot her memories. Then when he used to receive gifts, He would distribute things and he would say, give this to so-and-so because she was a friend of Khadija. And when he collects things, he goes, go and send this to the friends of Khadija. And when all these women, her friends, they come by, the Prophet ﷺ will be cheerful. Says she was a friend of Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Even his wife Aisha got jealous. She was jealous from the memories of Khadija. Khadija was gone. But she was so jealous that I wish that you could remember me as much as you remember Khadija. But what does that tell you? How much love he had, salawatullahi wasalamu alayhi, for Khadija. Even though after long she's gone. And because of that, when one time Aisha, she tried to compete with Khadija in front of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He got very upset with her. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ إِنِّي رِزُقْتُ حُبَّهُ. To listen. I was filled with love for her, for Khadija. And basically, I loved her so much. And she also loved me. رضي الله تعالى عنها وارضاها. And he counted all her virtues for her. She listened. She listened to me when everybody was not. She assisted me with her money and her wealth when everybody was holding their money from me. She was the first to believe when everybody denied me. And he starts counting all their virtues. I wonder how many husbands dare to mention the virtue of their wives in front of other people. And here is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam counting the virtue of his wife. It's not weakness to acknowledge that because of your wife and your spouse, you become who you are. Wallah is not weakness. That is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To give everybody the haq and the right that they deserve. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala came next. And when Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu in public, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, man ahabdu nasi ilayk? Who is the most beloved to you? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiq al-masduq, the truthful man. He didn't say, that's none of your business. He didn't say, he just immediately, naturally, he said, Aisha, which means there's no question. There's no second thought about it. That's Aisha. He didn't even say my wife or Abdullah. He said, Aisha. Even Amr, who asked the question, was shocked. He goes, no, I'm talking about men, Ya Rasulullah. But the question was direct. Who is the most beloved to you? He said, Aisha. And he said in public, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I'm asking each man right now to go and start, you know, posting on this everywhere. But at least, when it comes to acknowledging that, to be genuine about it. And here's Rasulullah, spontaneously, he just gave the answer, Aisha, radiallahu anha. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he even took it to the next level. He took that to the next level. He said, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahli. So listen, the best amongst you, to the men, are those who are best in the family. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ana khayrukum li ahli. I'm the best in my family. What is he trying to tell us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, listen, you want to be good? Be good to your family first. Forget about being good to your neighbors, being good to all these people around you, co-workers, this and that and so on. And then you ruin your relationship with your family. So you need to be good. You be good from inside first, then you become good outside. Because if you're good inside the house, wallahi, you will be good outside. But if you're good only outside, that doesn't warrant you successful relationship inside. Because it's much challenging. It's much more difficult. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, listen, wa ana khayrukum li ahli, I'm the best to my family. He's asking us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow his lead and follow his example. How is that? How can you be the best to your family? There's so many characteristics men and women, they look for in a relationship. And if you ask women, if you ask these ladies what exactly they want the most from a husband and wife, I do a lot of marriage counseling here. And when I ask them exactly, it's always the same thing over and over again. What men look for in any relationship is respect. They want respect. Respect in ways that are meaningful to them. That's how they say the word love. Which means if you love me, you respect me. Which includes making the food, taking care of the children, taking care of my family and my parents and so on. All these things, for them, these are acts of respect and acts of love. They are meaningful to the man, but they're not necessarily meaningful to the woman. And when you ask any lady, she would say love. That's what she looks for the most. But what does it mean exactly? It's not just buying flowers and chocolate. It's much more than that. It's by showing it in action. Being respectful as well. Understanding. Here are some of the qualities. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had as a great husband. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Number one. He was very understanding, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahi akbar. When you check what these ladies and the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they loved about Rasulullah the most, that he was very gentle, very kind, very understanding. Like what? One of these occasions, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Aisha, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ مَتَى تَكُونِ عَنِّي رَاضِيًا وَمَتَى تَكُونِينَ عَلَيَّ رَاضِيًا. He said, by Allah, I know when you are happy with me and when you are unhappy. I can tell. She goes, how do you know that? قال, when you're happy with me, you would say, كَلَّا وَرَبُّ مُحَمَّدٍ. No, by the Lord of Muhammad. And when you're unhappy, you would say, كَلَّا وَرَبُّ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. No, by the Lord of Ibrahim. And she responded to that in a loving nature. She goes, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, مَا أَهْجُرُ إِلَّا اسْمَكَ. I'm only avoiding your name, that's all. Which means the love is confirmed. I'm just avoiding your name at that moment. So even when they're upset, they understand each other. SubhanAllah, Rasulullah, he understood the language of his wife. Every woman would love to see her husband being so much understanding. In another occasion, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the Eid day, he was in the house. And he overheard the Abyssinians as they were playing with the swords, making like a festivity and a show in the masjid. People were watching and were happy with that. So they heard the clanking of all these swords and armor and so forth. And he looked at Aisha. Aisha, she showed some curiosity. And as her husband, he looked at her, he realized that she's kind of trying to pay attention to what's going on. So without her asking, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you want to watch? Do you want to watch? He knew what she was asking for, what she's looking for. She didn't have to ask. She said, yes. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood for her. He remained standing for her. And she came from behind him, covering, basically hiding behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her chin on his shoulder, and her cheek was on his cheek, as it was narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari. She said, قَالَتْ فَوَقَفَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He stood up for me. And he kept standing like this, but وَخَدِّي عَلَى خَدِّهِ. My cheek was on his cheek, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And then after some time, you know how men are. It's about just, you know, getting 5-10 minutes and that's it. So he turned to Aisha, he says, قَالَ, basically he turned there, is that okay? Are you done? قَالَدْ لَا, not yet. Which most men sometimes dread even asking that question. Because it means it's going to take forever. But here's Rasulullah, without any complaint. He stood for her, she was watching. And then, after some time, the Prophet says, are you done? She goes, no. And he continued to standing for her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same position. The same position. In a very loving, you know, standing for her, salawatullah wa sallam, he kept asking over and over again until she said, hasbuk, I'm done. That's it. And then they went back again to their normal activities. The Prophet did not complain, and Aisha did not complain. But what was amazing here is what Aisha, she wanted from this whole thing. When she used to narrate the story, she used to say, قَالَتْ وَاللَّهِ مَا كَانَ لَيْلِ النَّظَرِ بِالْحَبَشَةِ مِنْ حَاجٍ. She said, just to let you know, I swear I had no intention of watching these Abyssinians. I didn't even want to watch these people. But I just want the people to know about the standing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for me. I want them to know how would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam react to the request of his spouse. He told her, go ahead, let's watch. And he was with her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all this time, and she had no intention, no desire of watching. But she was teaching us a lesson, radiallahu ta'ala anha wa akhbar. To be kind, to be nice, to be gentle. And khayrukum khayrukum li ahli, the best among you are those who are best to their families. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very good listener, ya akhi. He was a very good listener. And that's what most women complain when it comes to husband and wife issues. He says she doesn't understand, and she says he doesn't listen. Because when he listens, he's watching the TV on his cell phone or doing something else. I'm listening. Just keep talking. He's not listening. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a very good listener. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrated the long hadith of Zara, which is also in Sahih Bukhari. She gave the story of ten women who gathered at the time of the Jahiliyyah before Islam. And each one of them starts talking about her husband. You know what we call this? We call it gossip. 10 women getting together, gossiping their husbands. Now subhanAllah, look at this. If a man hears his wife comparing him to her brother or his brother, let alone to a foreign man, it would become a big issue. And here's Aisha talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, describing the qualities of 10 husbands. Each woman was talking about her husband, and each was describing her husband. And here's Rasulullah is listening to this. One description after the other. For us, one description, it just makes your blood boil. And here's Rasulullah just listening. The first one, the second one, the third one. She's not criticizing him. She's not attacking him like most men would perhaps take it. She wasn't doing that. She was telling him a story. And Rasulullah understood the moral of that story. The last one, Zar, when she talked about her husband, Abu Zar, and he was the best of the 10. When she finished the story, here's a few things we need to learn about it. Number one, that story happened in the Jahiliyyah before Islam. And Rasulullah is much more older than Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Do you think Rasulullah didn't know about that story from before? Perhaps he knew about the story way before she was born. But he listened without interrupting. He listened without interrupting, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, she was talking about the qualities of husband, and Rasulullah was listening. He didn't take that personal. He said, okay, bismillah, let's see what happened. And third, when she finished, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her positive feedback. He said, and I shall be to you like Abu Zar was to Zar, choosing the best of the 10, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't defend himself. He said, so what do you think of me? He didn't take it personal. He said, I shall be for you like Abu Zar was to Zar. If this is what you want, you'll get that inshallah ta'ala. He was a good listener. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very humble. He was very humble. And he used to serve himself even in the house. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said that kana sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes, salawatullahi wa salamu, get busy serving the family. Kana fi khidmati ahli. Serving them around the house. Walakin idha kanat as-salah, idha hadrat as-salah, kanahu la ya'rifni. But when it was time for salah, he becomes like a stranger. Which means, salah comes first. Ibadah would come first. When we say to be nice and kind and gentle, that doesn't mean to overstep now the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you as a man of the house, that you basically make sure that your family, your children, are following the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what they need a role model. And the role model, the best wallahi role model is the real model, and that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once you really read, and there are so many other stories about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once you read these stories, wallahi you won't need any Valentine's or any story other than the stories of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ عَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَالَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, as you know, it's a season. And as Muslims, we cannot live in isolation. People, they see and they watch and they're going to ask you questions. Your children will ask you questions. Even in school, they will have their own party. What answers have you prepared yourself for that? And the best answer you can give them, wallahi, you don't have to say a word, but you can just act at home the way the Prophet ﷺ acted with his spouse. If you act with your children in loving nature, they don't need any verbal testimony from you about the meaning of love and kindness and gentleness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the miracle of marriage, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and one of his signs, that he created for one, he created you for each other, man and woman, and for what reason? So that you find peace and tranquility with each other. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and he placed between your hearts love and mercy. This is what you need to implement in the house. This is what you need to do. Sometimes in families we have couples way before they're divorced physically, they're living in what I call emotional divorce. They have done emotional divorce long, long time ago. There's no connection whatsoever except on paper. And that they live under the same roof. That's not supposed to be like that. It's supposed to be the way the Prophet ﷺ lived his life, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. The reason I'm mentioning this topic for you, Ikhwan, because being one of you, member of this metroplex from the Valley Ranch Muslim community, I know that every Muslim community now, mashallah, aspiring to building big projects and big Islamic centers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your project successful. You have a fundraising coming on March the 2nd to build this facility, inshallah ta'ala, to the best of what you can do. However, what I want from each and every one of you, to start building the community from within. That is the most important thing. What's the point if you have big masajid, big centers, when we have broken families and broken communities? As we build these projects and we put our hearts, inshallah, and our money into them, we need also to invest in our relationship with our families, with our children, the spouses and our relatives. This is a very crucial moment for you, I know. As you move on forward with your project, you need to move on forward with your community. Being a member of this community myself, I believe that we all need to be strong. We cannot afford having a weak community amongst us. The way I love to be successful in my community at Valley Ranch, I would love to see you successful as well in your community over here. The way you want every other masjid around you to be successful and strong, we cannot afford having a weak community around you. Therefore, make sure to support your project, support your community by attending your fundraising, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and work on yourself, on your children, on your family, and your community. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'na, wa anfa'na bima alamtana, innaka antal alim al-hakim. Allahumma atin nufusana taqwaha.